as if the creator.
What's going on, everybody? It's your man Winston Ward
and your girl Ash Slays here with the Rise of the Creative podcast,
and we are back with another one, and today we are talking about creating the student.
Ooh. Whew. Let's get into it, Mr. Yeah. R&B student.
No. I knew you was going to say that. I used to be the R&B student. Yeah, I used to be the R&B student. That used to be my old Instagram name. Changed it to something a little bit more formal now. Winston Ward Music. But
Shameless plug,
right. Maybe we'll get into that. Maybe we won't. We'll see. But before we actually get into the actual podcast, I wanted to read a creative quote. You know, we have creative quotes
after every podcast. We do that sometimes.
All the time. But here we go. The creative quote of this week is, you must always be the apprentice, even when you become the master.
Bars.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory. I don't really need to go too deep into that. It's the reason why I like that quote. I know I said I wouldn't go into it, but I got to. The reason why I like the quote so much is because I personally feel like in life, you always have to be the student. You always have to keep learning and continue learning so you can continue growing.
Right.
So that's the reason why I love that.
Right. Quote. Being teachable is a part of life.
Well, actually, let's before we even get into being teachable, because that's something I do want to speak about. How is us as creatives? How can we learn from each other?
That's a good question. I love collaborating with other creatives, even if we're not in the same field. I love hearing their creative process. That's a big part of our podcast, is hearing how other creatives create.
Right.
And just the mental aspect of it and all the things you go through and all the, you know, the process is so intriguing to me. I think that learning how other people's brain work is so fascinating to me. Like, how did you get to this point? Especially when I find something so beautiful and something so intriguing. I love to hear people's process of how they got to this point.
Right. And I think that was one of the cornerstones of why we even started this podcast.
Right.
So that we can interview other creatives and learn about their creative process. So it all started from us being students and just wanting to learn more. And in that learning,
I see how you motivate.
Exactly. And in that learning, hopefully, we can make those, I guess, these podcasts teachable. Or not teachable, make them practical for everyone who listens, so that maybe they can even apply some of the same steps that the other people took.
If not, we're just really funny.
I guess. One thing that I wanted to speak to you about was permission. When it comes to collaboration, in your opinion, what is the difference between stealing and revamping? Because I think when we start to talk about the creative process, there is always that aspect of borrowing from your fellow creative. At what point does that become stealing? Like,
I think the line is the permission. Especially if you know the person, if you have access to ask the person, hey, I really like this idea.
Right.
Can I put my own twist on it?
Right.
I think that's the fine line between blatantly stealing somebody's content and saying, hey, I would like to collaborate with you, or can I take this or not? You know, and sometimes it's not always that simple. It's not always that black and white where you can just be like, oh, let me ask, you know, because some people are not going to write back to you. Some people are not. They're going to say no.
Right. You're not even cool with them like that.
Right. But I think maybe even like acknowledging them, like, hey, I got this idea from such and such. I think that makes a huge difference. We see that all the time on social media. People like, oh, they stole my idea. They stole my content.
Yeah.
Because people are not giving credit to where credit is due.
Right. And I think it's also a money thing as well, too, because you realize if you give credit, you got to give that bag as well.
That's
too.
That's true. That's
so
true.
I think a lot of people, they try to shy away from that. It's unfortunate, but you know, sometimes it's just like, and I think there's a part of me that also, let me be very explicit. I'm not enabling stealing, right? I'm not saying go out and steal, especially from other creatives. But I think it comes to a point in time where you have to think, like, what makes sense for me.
Right.
Like, can I even reach out to this creative? Am I going to be able to even afford if they hit me with a price? And if those answers are no, I would even stay away from it. That goes with producers,
yeah,
with sampling other people's stuff.
Just having respect for the artist.
Exactly, exactly. That even goes with artists, like buying beats online. Like, it's so many layers to that,
mm-hmm,
to where it's like you have to be very mindful of the permission that you have, yeah, whether that's using the beats, how you can use the beats, and just be mindful of stealing versus revamping. So I thought that was very, right, very interesting that you put that up there. So
right, what are some benefits of being teachable?
You know, I think being teachable, for me at least, I think it's opened so many doors for me, because I personally feel like I'm so teachable, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned before, I feel like I am a lifelong student. I even, like I said, called myself the R&B student, because I think life and music are synonymous. Literally every day, I feel like I learn something about life,
mm-hmm,
and I also learn something about music. So being open and receptive to that without ego.
That's the word. Without ego.
Without ego is something that is I think it's a journey. It's always on a spectrum, because I think it's impossible for you to tell someone, hey, go and operate in this life without ego.
Right.
Right. I personally feel like it's impossible. Like, we all have egos.
Right.
It's just about how we manage it, you right, know, and how we use it in different situations. So right, I would just say it, you know, the benefits of being teachable is it opens so many doors for you. But the one thing that you got to just make sure you keep in due bounds is your ego.
Yeah. It also, like, it expands your mind to so many other things. Like,
yeah,
I feel like it's nothing worse than a closed-minded individual. When somebody is so set in their ways, like, what they think is law and that is it. Like, mm-hmm, I don't like that. Like, don't get me wrong. I am very stubborn on a lot of opinions.
You are.
All right. I'm very stubborn on a lot of opinions. However,
uh-huh,
I do acknowledge that I don't know it all.
Mm-hmm.
But a closed mind don't get fed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You preach it.
And if I say that I want to expand myself and I want to expand my brand and reach out to people, I can't limit myself on what I'm able to take in,
mm-hmm,
and what I'm able to teach other people. I love being able to share what I've learned. I'm such a Capricorn. I want to show people, like, oh, I can do this and I can do this. Not on some cocky shit, but just on some, I've acquired this. It took me forever to get this, or
mm-hmm,
I see that you could benefit from it. So let me help you. And I feel like that is what draws people to me, and what I am attracted to people. If you can teach me something, if you can show me something new, if we can collaborate, I love that.
Right. So I love that you said that, and it brought to mind something that I wanted to ask you, is who are some of the creatives that you learn from?
Beyonce. It wouldn't be a Rise of the Creative podcast if we did not bring up Beyonce.
More specifically, if you didn't bring up Beyonce. Not saying I don't love Beyonce either, but, you know.
When we get our special... and we get to tie in, we get to put all these clips together,
yeah,
of me saying Beyonce,
yeah,
and she laughs, my life will be complete.
Well, thank you for speaking into the existence. I'm gonna make sure I clip that up so we have it ready.
You know? I'm getting help, y'all. I am.
What, Beyonce help? Beyonce therapy?
Right. Listen, you seen Swarm. Let me just...
I haven't seen Swarm.
You haven't actually. Seen Swarm I yet? Seen it. I oh, God, it's a whole other podcast. Okay.
That's a whole other.
Besides Beyonce. Outside of Beyonce. I gotta say, my favorite creative to learn from,
mm-hmm,
it gotta be my girl Aisha.
Okay.
Let me give flowers to my friend, Aisha Bella.
Okay.
She is, if you don't know, me and Aisha go way back, like high school, 08, Randolph days. Aisha has a brand. She has a lifestyle, makeup, just luxury, black girl elegance. And she's an amazing content shooter. I love Aisha's aesthetic and her consistency. When I tell you this girl puts her whole foot into her content.
Yeah.
And it shows, like, the progression of her quality of her videos and just the little details that she puts into her work is so inspiring. Because I'm like,
yeah, she got it.
I want to be like that. Like, I want it to look like that. And she's a template for me. A lot of things that she does, I'm like, that's really cool. And I'll text her like, that was it. That's the one. And I love that, like I said, I love that she's consistent, because she's been posting and she's been a content creator for
a while.
A long time.
When being a content creator wasn't popular.
No, seriously. Like, I'm talking about like maybe like 2016, 2015. Yeah. And I have to give Aisha her flowers. I look up to her so much. And I ask her a million questions. I know she'd be tired of me asking her a million questions, but I ask her a million questions because her content is so original and it's so authentically her.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it. It's so, to know Aisha is to love Aisha. She is so authentically herself on Instagram and off Instagram. Wow. So that's one of the people that I really do look up. Outside of Beyonce.
And my mama. Okay. So, who do I learn from?
Right.
First, I'll say I learn from the creatives in my circle the most. I feel like they give me the most energy because it's personal.
Right.
If that makes sense. Gerard.
Ooh, shout out to G.
Quincy, Don, Ashley, David, Toons, Javon, like literally everyone that's inside of our little, you know, creative family, I feel like I draw energy from, because I feel like each and every one of you are creatives in your own right and in your own special way. Mm-hmm. And although we are a collective together, we're all individual. And I think that's what I love the most about it. So I learn from each and every one of you in your own respective ways, because each and every one of you are individual. Right. But outside of the team, I'm just going to just run down some names really quick of people who I really pay attention to and who really give me inspiration. Akon.
That's interesting.
Very interesting. Not necessarily from a creative side. Don't get me wrong. He's a dope creative, but more so from a business creative side.
Yeah.
Just the things that he was able to do with so many different artists. Not to mention T-Pain. Not to mention Lady Gaga.
Right.
Not to mention
a lot of people in his bag.
So many people in his bag, and I just appreciate how he is. I feel like he's always a student of the game, where he's always looking for new ways how to make his product and make the people that are in his camp better. Kenyon Dixon, he's another up-and-coming R&B artist who I think is amazing. And what I appreciate the most about him is the way how he engages his fans. How he, you know, he's always putting on for R&B, very similar to Eric Bellinger. Like, yeah. I can listen to the two of them, like, and they put out music so consistently.
Yes.
And I love that so much. And I draw so much energy and inspiration from that. And obviously Babyface and Tank, like, for me, like, those
Tank.
Two, right. Those two people, they're like OGs for me. Because I've been following them from day one, since I even became interested in music. Another group that I don't have up there is Boyz II Men.
That's really dope.
It's so many people. I draw from so many people. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it goes all the way back to me always being a student first. Mm-hmm. And learning from the people who came before me so that I could just be a better master when I do become one. What about you? I know you got some other people outside of Aisha, even though Aisha's amazing.
Right. No, I mean, I have a lot of people in my life that I gotta say are extremely creative and teach me a lot personally, spiritually, but someone that taught me a lot of in business. In my former life when I was a cake decorator.
Okay.
I worked at a small black-owned woman business. I've spoke about this before on the podcast.
Yeah.
But a small black-owned woman business owned by a family with the matriarch of Joanne Baylor.
Miss Joanne.
Miss Joanne. That lady is...
the GOAT.
She's the GOAT. She really is.
Mm-hmm.
I would spend hours underneath her just learning how to decorate cakes, mm-hmm. learning the business aspect of it. She has led so many lives. She has so many hats that yeah. I was just taking it all in.
Yeah.
And it was such a blessing to be accepted underneath her because, like I said, she has so many different things. She lived so many lives. Like she just dropped so many gems on life and relationships and mostly business because, you know, I worked as her assistant for so many years.
Right.
But I got to learn the business aspect of it personally.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people get that opportunity
yeah.
to sit underneath mm-hmm. a owner of a business that has not only survived years, like literally decades,
right.
but survived pandemics, survived, you know, bankruptcy,
recessions,
all these things,
right.
right. And she's still dope and she still created a brand. She still branched off and created so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And her products are great.
Right.
That in itself was like such an amazing journey to go through. I thank Ms. Joanne for so much opportunity she's given me.
She's also so loved in the community.
Yes.
Like,
are you not even like name dropping, but she knows
right.
the OGs of Harlem. Like,
right.
People are coming by, oh, yeah, no, Ms. Joanne. Oh, even just saying the Baylor family
uh-huh.
name. Like, they are so well known in Harlem.
Yeah.
Because they're so, you know, they've been there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Their legacy is there. Their products are there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great business aspect. We're not going to get into that, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I loved working with them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And so, would you consider her a mentor?
When I was there, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I was able to pick her brain on a lot of things. I knew she was so tired of me asking so many questions. But I feel like it was so important to have somebody and something that, you know, at one point in time, I thought I wanted to, you know, open a bakery and, you know, be a part of that culture.
Right.
I was able to really get such a deep understanding of this is what you have to do. This is what the city requires you to do. And it was so much things that I don't think that schooling taught me because
mm-hmm.
I went to school for business and yeah, you know the technical terms and you know different things, but
mm-hmm.
being in it every day, learning different things, learning how to interact with people
mm-hmm.
and on a business aspect and on a personal aspect
mm-hmm.
as far as business,
right?
I didn't realize that those two things were so correlated.
Oh yeah.
Especially in a bakery aspect and in food service, you
mm-hmm.
have to be personable.
Facts.
To draw a customer in.
Not
only do you have to have a great product, but
mm-hmm.
you have to, there's a level of professionalism and being personable
mm-hmm.
that she taught me was amazing. It was truly amazing. And a really great, now that I look back, it was
mm-hmm.
a really great experience. I don't think I would have ever have gotten that if I went to any other bakery or shop. Even now, even going from, you know, bakery to corporate,
mm-hmm.
I have never been able to have that hands-on,
right.
no competition. It was no malice. It was
mm-hmm.
just creativity at its core, at its rawest form.
I love that. And I think the importance of that, or rather just the importance of having a mentor on a creative's journey is that guidance that she gave
yeah.
you. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like she was able to really be that not even listener, but I'm pretty sure she listened to you, but she gave you that blueprint
yeah.
to follow if
yeah.
if that was something that you did decide
yeah.
to continue to do. And I think it's important for every creative to try to look for a mentor. And something I didn't write in our show notes is that I think even if you're unable to find a physical mentor,
right?
Virtual mentors work as well.
That is true.
They're not,
that's the thing now.
They're not as how would you say it, they're not as
hands-on
hands-on
yeah.
and you know you're gonna have to get creative in how you apply it But I do think that it is important that you gain knowledge from someone who's at least had the same experience as you, an experience in your field, you know? So, what are some questions you should be asking your mentor?
That's a good one. I asked a lot of questions that normally my questions will come up in situations where I didn't want to put my, I wanted to hear from experience. Like it was a situational kind of thing where I wanted experience over what the book tells me to do. Does that make sense? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted real life experience. Like, how would you have handled this?
Right.
I know how I would have handled this, but I want to hear your opinion on how I would handle this. I think that's another great quality that in a mentor is somebody who's a great listener.
Oh, yeah.
Because she took my personality type and was able to help me. Because that's another thing.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have a mentor that... You guys got to mesh a little bit.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? You guys got to be on the same wavelength.
Facts.
And I don't know if it was her experience or just who we are. We just mesh. Like, we just... Even if we got into our little quarms and, you know, our little... She get on my nerves. She asked too many questions. Or she doing too much?
Right.
I knew that it was all in love.
Of course.
And she was a great listener. She has so... Like I said, she has so much experience in her field that... Every question, no matter how big or how small or how many times I've asked... I asked the question, it was always met with, all right, let me show you how to physically hands-on, like, okay, this is how you do it. This is why we do it. This is what I've learned in my years. Like, this is why we know. This is what I was taught, but this is what experience has told me how it should be done.
Right.
And I think that's, like, one of the best qualities you can have in a mentor. Somebody who not only listens, but can comprehend. Because you can listen and not comprehend.
100%.
Yeah.
I think, My current job that I have now, I am working with someone who I consider a mentor. And one of the questions that I asked him was, what are your motivations? And by asking him, it gave me so much more insight into who he was. I felt like I already had a relative understanding to who he was. But by understanding what his motivations are, it made me, number one, understand him better. But it also made me realize, like, hey, my motivations aren't strong enough. Or let me not say my motivations aren't strong enough, but my motivations, they don't propel me the same way that they propel him. So I need to sit and really reevaluate my motivations. Like, are these the things that really motivate me, or are there other things that could be motivating me more? So I think by even just asking him that question, you know, what are your motivations, or who do you look up to, like questions like that really just provided me the insight to really be self-reflective to myself and really think, like, what are some, and not even in the sense of comparison, but just from the sense of knowing that this person has been, or this person is where I want to be.
Right.
And I know that even if I don't take the things that, or even if we don't have the same experiences, I can learn from his experience that he has and replicate that in my life in my own way.
Yeah.
So I think that's the, number one, just having a mentor is amazing.
It's a blessing.
Exactly. But having that relationship to where you can ask them the right questions is always, always a blessing.
And knowing who they look up to as well.
And I think...
Because it shows... I'm sorry, but it plays to their character.
Of course.
Seeing who inspires their inspiration.
Right. No, I get it. And I think one last thing that I'll say about it is... Be very specific with your questions.
Oh, yeah.
I think when you're sitting and you're talking to your mentor or someone who you value as or someone that you just look up to, I think asking them specific questions that aren't obviously that aren't vague is going to make them think, and it's also just going to elicit a better answer.
Yeah.
If you just ask them a basic question like, well, you know, why do you sing like that? Like, no, like, that's not, it's not really going to give you nothing that you need. Instead of, you know, I noticed every time when you sing this type of song, you do this type of riff. Is there a reason why you do that? Like the more specific that you get with your questions, the better the answer you're going to get.
And a good mentor is going to challenge your questions.
Oh, yeah.
Mentor is not going to be like...
Oh, yeah.
That they're going to open up your floodgates to more questions. They're going to challenge your thought process. They're going to challenge how did you get to this situation, because they're going to invoke thought for yourself.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, you're trying to get to where they are.
And that's a fact.
A good mentor is going to have that. You mentally mm-hmm. be on that same path.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ashleys.
What's up?
I think this is starting to become a theme, though, to be honest. In popular culture, I think that's what we should call it. Like, in pop culture or, like, mm-hmm. something like that. So, in today's episode, we're talking about, obviously, mentors or just being a student. So, in today's, pop culture, who are some popular mentors / mentees or teachers and students or people...
Who are known to have proteges.
Exactly.
My favorite...
Okay.
Well, probably the relationship between I'm gonna say Dionne Warwick and Whitney Houston.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Why you said it like so sarcastically?
I am surprised.
I mean,
judging by
I think
who
they're
we got
like
on
cousins.
The, I know, judging I, by who we got on the board.
We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there, but
okay.
I think they were like cousins, if I'm not mistaken. Weren't they cousins?
Family members or something.
Some type of family.
They're not obviously they're not mother and daughter, but
no.
Aunt and son, maybe something like that. I don't know about cousins. I don't know if they're that
but
far.
But like the Dionne Warwick, Whitney Houston, Brandy pipeline.
Mm.
That pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, I feel like they created like this, I don't know how to describe it.
No, but I get it.
But
though,
it's like known, like they've talked about it in interviews, how they... all inspired each other, and
of
even
course.
Influences into their music and
oh yeah,
their singing is amazing.
Before, let's get into an unpopular opinion very quickly, right?
Okay.
Who's the better singer out of those two that you made?
I'm not going
to
go into that.
We have to.
I
know they are.
You're talking about Dionne,
Warwick,
Whitney and Brandy. They're three different generations.
I
they
know
got three
that.
Different styles.
But who's the better one?
I'm
got
go
an
with
answer.
Whitney. Yeah, I'm gonna go with because she has the range.
Wow.
I'm gonna go with Whitney.
I love that. I respect.
Just based off of like her songs, I'm more of a. I love. Don't get me wrong. I love me some Brandy.
Okay.
I like Dionne Warwick too, especially after seeing her documentary. I really like her.
Okay.
I'm just gonna have to go with Whitney.
Whitney, I think that's a question. That's a question for the public. Who's a better singer out of those three?
That's you're trying to create chaos. That's what I feel like. It's like you're trying to divide families. Because why would you say that?
Facts. Because somebody mama gonna say
right.
Dionne.
The grandmother gonna say Dionne.
Right. The mama gonna say Whitney.
And the daughter gonna say Brandy.
I'm looking forward to it. We got to ask that. We definitely got to ask that.
What are some other popular protege, mentee, mentors?
So, I'm a... This isn't like traditional, like how you did it. Like, mm-hmm. It was Dionne, Whitney, and then Brandy. I think this one is Jermaine Dupri, Usher, and... Oh, actually, I didn't even mean to say Usher. But Jermaine Dupri and Usher is one. But I was going to say Snoop Dogg, Bow Wow, and Jermaine Dupri.
Yes.
Right?
So Snoop and Bow Wow, definitely.
Snoop and Bow Wow. And Bow Wow and Jermaine Dupri. It's almost like a Bow Wow, like, you know, I don't even know. I don't want to say three-way, but like, it's like, it's.
I get it. They made some, yeah.
So, Bow Wow was. Number one, I think Bow Wow was so influential in pop culture from, what was it, maybe 2000 to, I can't even remember, but he had a run.
He did.
He had a run.
Because he had a really great template with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
he had a really great producer with Jermaine Dupri. Whatever they got falling out now that they're adults.
I don't even think it was a falling out. I think they got older. Bow Wow got older. I mean, they all got older, obviously.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I think that's a great one. Another one, like I said before, Jermaine Dupri and Usher. Mm-hmm. I feel like that. We even spoke about that on the podcast about how it was Jermaine Dupri's situations that fueled Usher's superstardom. Because I think he was already a star when he got to Jermaine Dupri. But when, you know, he was working on 8701 and Confessions.
Yeah, that collaboration and then, was historic.
Yeah. That was big. So, Jermaine Dupri is definitely responsible for some monsters.
I got another one.
Okay.
Denzel and Chadwick. So many interviews I've seen where Chadwick gives Denzel his flowers. I even think Denzel paid for Chadwick's tuition or
something like that.
Something like that. It was like a paving of the way kind of thing. And I'm like, that I would have loved to have seen his career 30, 40 years from now. I mean, we always have him in memory, but.
Facts. I would have loved to see them in a movie together. Like, that would have been.
Wait. Yeah.
That would have been special.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see more black actors together. Like,
yeah.
Like,
especially amongst the generations.
Right. Like, I want to see like a Denzel and Will Smith, like, or even so random, right? Or even like a Denzel and Jamie Foxx in the same movie. Like, now granted, it's gonna have to be a very big budget movie because both of them probably like, listen, man, if I ain't getting $20 million
and
a producer credit, like, you know.
Right.
But anyway, I think that would be just beautiful.
What's number one
for the
one?
Culture.
Beyonce, Chloe, and Halle.
I thought that was gonna be first. I thought that was gonna be the
I
first
didn't
one.
I
don't
wanna just jump right. I mean, Beyonce, Chloe, and Halle, she's giving these girls
the blueprint.
The Matthew Knowles School of Knowledge right now. And if they take that and they fumble it, I'm going to be so
they're
mad.
They're not going to fumble because they're not fumbling it now. I think they're doing well.
I would love to be in a room while she tells them what to do.
I think they're all doing. To be honest, I think if they continue on the trajectory that they're going, they have the ability to be bigger superstars than Beyonce.
I know that's hard to fathom.
Because Beyonce is so big. I'm telling you.
Trust me.
I
wouldn't say that. Your dog's in there like, nah.
Here it is.
Chloe and Halle bigger than Beyonce? We're even going to throw Solange into this. We're going to put two and two together. We're going to put sisters and sisters.
I think Solange
there's nothing that they could do if in the next 15 to 20 years it's going to make them.
It's over for Solange. It's over for Solange.
How is it over? Solange can never catch Beyonce. We're not comparing the sisters. We're comparing the careers of Beyonce and Solange to Chloe and Halle.
Oh, so you think Chloe and Halle is going to be Solange?
No, I'm not comparing. We're not doing that over here. We're not comparing them.
Okay.
But there's nothing
There's
nothing that Chloe and Halle can do in the next 10 to 15 years that's going to make them more influential or bigger than Beyonce and Solange.
I don't agree. I think, now granted, I think it's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of luck as well too. But I think with the blueprint that Beyonce has provided for them, setting them up with movies, setting them up with music, bro. I'm trying not to get too excited. Halle is going to be in The Little Mermaid. Do you know how big The Little Mermaid? First of all, Beyonce has never been in that type of movie. And I'm not trying to compare. But what I'm saying is if they continue going on this trajectory of influencership or popularity or notoriety, they have the chance. I'm not saying that they're going to be. I'm saying that they have the chance, at least one of them, have a chance to be better or at least in the same conversation with Beyonce.
Beyonce is still going to be Beyonce.
I know that.
Is she not going to have her stock is not going to go down?
I know it can that. Only,
so there's no way that they could be bigger than her.
I don't agree. Okay. Here it is. Another unpopular opinion. Or it may be popular or unpopular. Who do you think is better, Beyonce or Michael Jackson?
Now, why are you trying to cause wars?
This is not
saying
war.
That.
I want you to answer the question.
We just starting now. I don't need people to cancel me.
Thank you, Don.
Hold on, wait. It went out. whatever you just hit, it closed.
Kind of good to prove your point. Chloe just only sold 10K first week.
All right, that's the first album, okay?
I'm not even saying that they're not going to be great. I'm not even saying that. I'm not even putting that into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. They cannot beat Beyonce's legacy.
What I'm saying is they have the ingredients to do it.
Yes, they do. They do. They right, absolutely so do. They I got think, the template.
You, all right.
But you're saying you're that they're going to be
I'm
bigger than
me. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying
hit
that
the
they...
Hit because he definitely just said that.
I said that they have the ingredients. I said that and we both right. agreed. Okay.
But they're not going to be bigger than Beyonce.
But we don't know that because they have the ingredients.
All right, but they're not going to be... Because Beyonce is still going to be Beyonce, though.
I know that. But what I'm saying is they have the ingredients to be Beyonce. Something like Beyonce.
I don't even like the conversation of comparing them to Beyonce because they are their own people.
This is something else. This is something else that I want to ask the world. Do we think Chloe and Haley have a chance to be better than Beyonce?
Why gotta ask them. Be better?
Not better. Not better. I'm sorry. Do they have the blueprint to be on Beyonce's level? Let's just say that.
Yes.
All right.
I think they do.
Okay.
I think if they keep the trajectory that they're going in yes. and keep their heads level and being like, they seem like what, okay, I didn't even say they seem like, what they present to the world.
Right.
They seem very wholesome and they seem very grounded. They seem like they have a great family. You know what I mean? Like they have that. Mm-hmm. As far as like sales wise and how they're promoted, that's neither here nor there. That can come with,
yeah.
That I mean, can come, that can just, change over
just
time.
They're starting. I'm pretty sure that's
but I think they,
child.
Like, the talent. The you said no.
That was like Destiny Child with Platinum Day One. Like, what you talking about?
I just think it's like I think that's just all PR and like just her marketing team. Like they just didn't do a good job, or maybe you know. But she is selling out concerts. She is selling out. She may not have record sales, but she's somebody listening.
Right.
She's selling out concerts. She's selling out, but she's selling out though.
Don said venue size. That is a
she's
good.
She's selling out.
That is a good. Definitely a good. Good point. Definitely a good point. Absolute last one that I want to say, as a great mentor mentee relationship is, and this was very let me just say informal. It started becoming a little bit more formal later on in their careers, mm-hmm. was Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Mm. I think this is another unpopular opinion, but Michael, we actually have to have a podcast called Unpopular Opinion.
She took the words out of our mouth. We gotta do Unpopular Opinions.
But anywho, Unpopular Opinion. Michael Jordan is the GOAT of basketball, right? Okay. Now, the LeBron James fans are going to, you know, rip me a new one, but that's okay. I'm willing to have that debate. But I think the reason that Kobe Bryant is as successful as he was is because he essentially followed in Michael Jordan's footsteps. Mm. Even Michael Jordan says it to this day. The only person that could probably beat me is Kobe Bryant because he knows all of my moves. Mm. And it's like, I found that, just that statement to be just so profound that someone could say, listen, this guy might even be better than me, you know.
And people are considering him the GOAT.
And people are considering him the GOAT. I don't ever think, you know, Beyonce would ever say that about Chloe and Haley, but that's
because they're not. You don't compete when you don't compare.
Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant didn't they're necessarily compete. Oh yeah, come on, Ashley, let's get it. Come on.
I can't talk about Michael Jordan because I can't talk. Oh, Michael Jordan and Kobe, because I don't know nothing about basketball. You can hit me in the head with a basketball. I don't know anything about basketball. All I know is R.I.P. Kobe. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah,
R.I.P. Kobe. I don't know anything about stats or anything about basketball.
Right.
But I can tell you.
Okay.
That Beyonce and Chloe, or whatever you want to put, they're not the same.
Okay. I don't think anyone would make the mistake of saying Michael and Kobe are the same. What the argument is not even an argument, but what the statement is that Kobe was so good because he followed the blueprint of Michael Jordan.
Right.
And the how I'm making it synonymous with Beyonce and Chloe and Halle is because Chloe and Halle are literally following the same blueprint right. as Beyonce.
I think they're too new to even say that they're going to do this. Like, they're too new. Like, they're right. too...
They're still figuring it out.
Right. They're still working out their marketing stuff because her record sales really did plummet. Like, not plummet, but they were not good for a solo release because their first two albums that they did together were really good. I think they did really, as far as numbers.
Right. And songs-wise, too. They had some good songs, too.
Right. You can't compare that to Beyonce.
Okay.
She had Matthew Knowles, and that's a different...
Okay.
That's a different breed.
I feel like we could have a whole other podcast just about this.
But, yes, we could.
We'll table that for next time. Just to kind of wrap this up, I wanted to belabor the point on being a student. We gave y'all some popular examples of people who are clear students and teachers. Right. And the thing that I want y'all to remember is Dionne Warwick. She looked up to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Jermaine Dupri looked up to somebody. Snoop Dogg looked up to somebody. Beyonce looked up to somebody. Denzel looked up to somebody. Michael Jordan looked up to somebody. It's this thing called life is a revolving door. You start out as the student and then you become the teacher. You start out as the mentee and then you become the mentor. But I think they both go hand in hand. So what I wanted to submit to you is to do your best to try to find someone who is further ahead of you in what you want to pursue in life and latch on to that person. Like I said, even if you can't find anyone now who is within arm's reach, you can find a virtual one. But finding that person is imperative to your journey,
right?
Because you're gonna need that person in your next level of life. So, just wanted to just end on that little monologue. Ashley, where can they find you?
You can find me on my Instagram at Ash Slays. That's ASHSLAYSS. Remember to follow the hashtag Big Girls Don't Take Full Body Pics.
You can follow me on Instagram at Winston Ward Music. You can also follow the podcast's page on Instagram at Raza the Creative NYC. And we're going to be hitting y'all with some questions, man. Because
we need to get into this. You really kind of got me mad with this Beyonce banter.
So you kind of got me mad.
You got me a little mad.
I can tell you was a little hot.
You got me a little riled up.
I can tell you started to talk on purpose. I know you started to talk and then you stopped. I'm like, oh shit, she getting hot.
You do it on purpose. You do it on purpose, and I fall for it every time. Oh, but man. You will not get me.
I got you already, but okay.
Talk about, you know what? And that's it. We're gonna end it on this.
Thank you so much for listening, and as always, stay creative. And we are
out.
Thank you, Don.
As if the creator.
Wait, what about now?
All right, maybe the next show.